right up there with those fundamental operations is this adjacent transform. Let's play a game, folks. What's the name in the Q language for adjacent transform in C++ and map adjacent in Haskell? It's five letters and starts with the letter P.
Welcome to ADSP, the podcast, episode 145, recorded on June 21st, 2023. My name is Connor, and today with my co-host Bryce, we record live from the roads of Italy during the Slovenia 2023 road trip on the way to Venice. In today's episode, we chat about how to parallelize the algorithm Stood Unique.
Now we can switch to, because we didn't talk about this on the pod, what was it, a couple days ago when we were chatting in the car and we were talking about some algorithm stuff, and I asked Bryce, and so now I'll put it to the listener. If you're washing dishes, if you're on a run, if you're on a walk, or if you're just sitting on the couch or sitting in a chair in the backyard enjoying the sunshine, think about this. So we've got the Stood Unique algorithm, which is an algorithm for removing duplicate values that are next to each other. And this is similar to an algorithm called deduplicate or distinct that we chatted about a little bit. But the difference is that one removes all duplicates. So the easiest way to do this, if you don't care about performance or order, is, you know, in Python, you can just take your list of values and then convert it into a set. And that's a property of a set, is that there's no duplicate values. So Stood Unique, similar to deduplicate, deduplicate, but you're only getting rid of adjacent values. So the question is, we were talking about the parallel implementation of this in Thrust, but you can sort of think of this sequentially as well. And the question is, two algorithms are used to implement Unique? There are two other standard algorithms. And we'll let you think for a sec while Bryce adds some commentary, because he already knows the answer. If you
don't really remember, I do remember talking through this. It's not removeif. Yeah,
it's not removeif.
Right. Okay. One of them is probably copyif.
Copyif is correct.
Yeah. So that's the second thing. And then how do you figure out which things you're removing? Adjacent transform, or is it just adjacent difference?
In Thrust, it is adjacent difference. And if you actually look at the implementation on GitHub, it doesn't explicitly mention adjacent difference. You see something called, I believe it's called head flags. And that is a specialization of adjacent difference, where you are using the not equal to, or is it equal to?
So it's got, just to clarify, in this implementation in Thrust, it has ON temporary storage to store the flags that indicate whether or not you're removing a particular element.
Yes, that is correct.
And
just to clarify, it's head flags and tail flags are two specializations that just sort of shift where the booleans, the trues and falses, go. Either sort of, does it go with the first adjacent element or with the second adjacent element? So that's why they're called head and tail flags, and the flags to indicate where they're the same, basically. So you want to do it adjacent difference with equal to. No, not equal to. So I was right, actually, initially, because whenever you have a different value, that's when you want to perform a copy. But whenever they're equal to each other, you want to ignore them.
So I will again ask the typical question that I almost always feel like I ask whenever you ask me, whenever we talk about how an algorithm is implemented. Why can't we do this one pass? And I do admit it's a little bit trickier to do it one pass, because doing it, like, you could imagine doing it a single pass with some sort of, like, adjacent view, but the problem is that it's you don't just need to see, like, those two elements. Like, if there's a run of elements, let's say that you got, like, I don't know, 64 elements, all of which have the same value, when you parallelize that and split it up into multiple different chunks, it's possible that, you know, one thread could have, you know, the start of that run of equal elements, and another thread could have the end of that run of equal elements. And so it's not simply sufficient to just look at the two elements next to each other. You sort of need some information propagated from earlier element from neighboring chunks. But I still wonder whether there's a way to do this in a single pass. What are your thoughts?
So we should be clear here. We're talking about in parallel.
Yes.
Sequentially, it is very easy to do this in a left to right single pass fashion, where you basically just look at two elements at a time, and whenever they're not equal to each other, you just perform a copy. And you can also do it in place, definitely, sequentially. In parallel, though, I don't really see how you can do it. I think it's necessary to materialize that head flags, because
I'm not so convinced that it necessarily is. This may just be another example of where you need the a reduction that guarantees ordering, a parallel reduction that guarantees ordering, which we've talked about extensively before on this podcast.
I mean, you could probably do it, but you're going to end up with, like, a different implementation in that. If you're chunking things up and doing a unique on each one of the chunks, you would then need to basically do an extra... So it would kind of be like the scan behavior. Not in that you need to keep state. You wouldn't need to, but, like, you would perform unique on each chunk, and then merge that back together, but then still have to perform unique on that merged chunks result, because if you split a chunk in the midst of a contiguous sequence of equal elements, you're going to end up with two elements in a row, basically, and so you need to remove those. So, I mean, I'm not sure if that... I'm
looking at the in Thrust, the Cub special... Oh, no, okay, I'm looking at... Yeah.
You gotta... Listener has no idea what you're
talking about. I was looking at the Cub. I was looking at the how we implement this in Thrust, and no, Connor is correct. We do seem to do it in two passes right now, which is, I think, unfortunate.
Listen, folks, we're headed past a speed camera. I'm happy to report we're not speeding. You know why? That's because the speed limit's 130, baby. Woohoo! We love it. We're going 126.
We should clarify this is in kilometers per hour, not miles per hour, for our American audience.
Yep. That's the only time, basically, we're under the speed limit, is when the speed limit is 130, or when we're in a kid's school zone, because we got to protect the children.
Yes, of course. What is that reduction that we've talked about before? Is it a...
It's a associative-only reduce.
Yes. So a reduce that supports non-commutative operations.
Correct.
So this non-commutative reduce, could you do it with that?
No, this has nothing to do with reductions, right? You can do it in your quote-unquote single pass thing, and I think really more...
Yeah, you're right. It's not really a reduction I need, per se.
More, it's not about really doing this in a single pass. What we're trying to do is not materialize this flags that looks at the,
that
temporary storage. So I think we should clean up our... be a little bit more precise about what we're talking about here. And you can do that with that strategy of, like, chunking and basically doing... uniques on each of your chunks, but then, like I said, when you merge those back together, you're going to end up still having to do another unique to get rid of the potential duplicate values that are at the edges of the chunks, which, like I said, I'm not sure if that's going to end up being more performant, because you're basically you're doing things... I mean, I don't know, a lot of algorithms still do things, do a lot of extra work, so maybe
I wonder if you can do it in a single pass with a scan.
I mean, even if you did do it with a scan, that's and no, you couldn't because you're getting rid of stuff, right?
Yeah. The problem is you need
scan doesn't give you the ability to eliminate stuff.
You need something that can.
And the thing is too is if you're doing unique on each one of the chunks, you're doing basically like a bunch of copy ifs, which is going to be super expensive. You're doing copy ifs on each of the chunks, and then you're doing a copy if for the final std unique. I just think probably the implementation that is there right now is the best one.
I'm not convinced.
Here's the follow-up, though, is that the reason I kind of brought this up was that I love, listen, folks, let me tell you what I love. I love the fact that there are all these different specializations of adjacent difference and now adjacent transform. I think it's really, like, the fact that adjacent difference has such a bad name is really, it's really, really unfortunate because it is such, I think, an important algorithm. It's only, an adjacent difference really is an adjacent transform, but this zip tail type of transform, what's called map adjacent in Haskell and zip with next, I think, in Kotlin, there's a bunch of different languages that call this different stuff. It's such an important pattern and deserves, like, I think it deserves to be up there with, you know, we've got reduces and folds, we've got scans, we've got maps, we've got filters. Right up there with those fundamental operations is this adjacent transform. So much so that in the language Q that we talked about several episodes ago when we were solving that skyline problem, it has, Q has an adjacent difference function called, do you know what it's called, Bryce?
I do not.
Five letters and starts with a P. Let's play a game, folks. What's the name in the Q language for adjacent transform in C++ and map adjacent in Haskell? It's five letters and starts with the letter P.
I got no clue. I'm trying to come up with another solution to this problem from before.
Chusa, we'll play Hangman. We're going to give you three lives, and if you guess, we'll give you five lives. Guess a letter.
A.
Incorrect. Down to four lives.
D.
Bryce guessed D. Incorrect. Down to three lives.
E.
Bryce guessed E. Incorrect. Down to two lives.
Why?
I'm going to let you have another guess, because that's a terrible guess, Bryce.
I don't know. I think you should just tell me.
The Wheel of Fortune fans are very upset. I'll give you a letter. It's R. And that is P-R, blank, blank, R. This is the name of the adjacent transform algorithm, Bryce. Think about what... He got it correct, folks. The name of the adjacent transform algorithm is prior. Note that in C++, our adjacent transform argument, our algorithm, takes a template argument for the number of adjacent elements you want to look at, whereas prior is fixed to two. There's no way to customize that, so it only looks at two elements at a time, similar to how adjacent difference works. And in Q, there are actually two specializations of prior because they're so frequently used, and those are deltas and differ. So deltas is basically prior with subtraction as the default binary operation, but it's commuted subtraction. So you're similar to how it works in adjacent difference. You're subtracting, if you're looking at sort of two elements at a time and you look at one on the left and one on the right, you're subtracting the one on the left from the one on the right. So if you have an increasing sequence of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you'll get back the values 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Technically 5 ones because you copy the first value to be the first value of the output sequence, which I think is broken and we fixed in C++ 23. So that's deltas, and which is basically the default behavior of adjacent difference if you don't specify a custom binary operation. And the second specialization of prior is differ, which is the prior or adjacent difference algorithm with the not equal to binary operation. So it's giving you a mask of basically where elements change. And this is a very useful algorithm because there's another function in Q called cut. And when you combine differ with cut, you can basically get that chunking mechanism where it'll split your vector up into sublists and throw it in a table. We love that, folks. So I just, my whole little monologue here that I wanted to get on the pod, seeing as we got to find things technical to talk about while we're on the road in the Slovenia 2023 podcast, is that adjacent transform, it's just such a useful algorithm, and it's such a shame that in C++ we called it adjacent difference, because it completely obfuscates how useful and powerful it is. And yeah, now you know, we've got prior and Q, two specializations, deltas and differ. We love it. Over to you, Bryce.
All right. I have not been listening to you the last 5 minutes. I've been designing this algorithm in my head.
You're the worst co-host, Bryce.
Okay, so one of the key properties that you get with a scan is that...
Can you hook me up with a cookie?
I can hook you up with a cookie. One of the key properties you get with a scan... You want me to open it up? Or are you able to... Okay. One of the key properties you get with a scan is that every element of the output gets to include information from all of the preceding elements. So when I think about the output of a unique operation, I think that this is a property that you need, right? That if a unique operation is removing some elements, or another way to think about it is that it's sort of like shifting everything over. Like if you have two elements that are the same, you shift over the right element, and then like you add an empty element at the end. And so figuring out how much you have to shift over, like the last element, is going to depend on how much prior elements were shifted over. So you need some information from all prior operations. So it seems to me like this is something that can be done with a scan. And let's think about this as we would like a mathematical proof. So let's start off with just the first two elements. So we have the first two elements. We're going to look at those first two elements, and if they're equal, then, well, actually, for the first two may be a little bit boring, because the first element has no one that is the absolute first element in the sequence, you're always going to retain a unique because there's no element preceding it. But for the second element, you're going to look at the first element and the second element, and if that second element is equal to the first one, then you need to omit it from the output.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What are you trying to do after the scan to get it in unique? Are you trying to store the index at which you need to copy this to afterwards? Are you trying to store a Boolean that says we don't need to keep this? Like, what are you trying to do with the scan?
No, I'm trying to do the entire thing with the scan.
There's no way you can.
There's no way.
Why not?
Scan gives you n, like you have n inputs, n outputs. That is like fundamentally
Yes. Puts
it in a separate category than unique.
Not if I propagate the information about like how many I've moved over to the left, and then like at the end I just fill it in with like tombstone values.
You still can't do it. It's impossible. Like, because of the semantics of the left to right, which is the associativeness of the scan operation, there's no way you can go backwards. Like, when you get to the end of the array, there's a potential that you need to copy the very last value to be in the second spot. And there's no way to do that with a scan.
Which is why I was asking, like, what are you doing after the scan? Because I'm not following what you're trying to build up to.
So one thought that I had was that, like, to some degree, you may be right in that you may need to do a scan over the reversed sequence, because it may be the case that you don't need to know, to know what the value of that second element might be, I need to know what the values is of all the rest of the sequence.
I think this is a fool's errand. I don't think it's, and also too, you're making the mistake, although maybe this is just you're doing this as a mental exercise, but unique is
I think that it is I simply think that it is incorrect that the only way to implement this in parallel requires ON temporary storage. I don't see any reason that you would need to do that. I think that you can simply chunk this up and propagate the information between the different chunks, and I don't think that you need to do two passes either.
Well, so we've talked about that solution.
Yeah, yes, but yours required two passes still.
But like a scan inherently requires two passes anyways. So like, but also too, the thing I was
gonna say, no. We now have a single pass scan implementation. Yeah.
Anyways, I don't think scan's going to work. The thing that I was going to mention, though, is that unique is in the category of algorithms that, or category of problems where you only need a fixed amount of information to the left. You don't need the entire state up until then. And this is, we've talked about this, I don't know, 3 or 4 times, although people probably forget. And this is another reason why a JSON transform is such an important algorithm, is that anytime you don't need the entire state that depends on everything up until this point and it's a fixed window, you don't want to reach for scan. You want to reach for a JSON transform.
But wait, why? It's not a fixed window here.
It's just to the left. All you need to know is the value of the element to the left of the current element. And if it's the same, then that's when you don't
to make it. But really if the question that you're trying to figure out is where do I put this value in like the output sequence, like that requires more information.
You said that's not what you were doing though. You said you were trying to implement this all in a single pass with a scan.
Right, and to do this in a single pass you need to figure that out
and then do something afterwards.
Why?
What you're saying, you need to figure out where it's going to go in the final sequence, but like figuring out where it goes is not enough. You have to do something.
Right, but if I figure out where it goes, then I can just put it there in the output. Let's just assume.
It's going to require a full pass of the data in order to get that. Like, you can't do it as you go. Like, otherwise, or if you do that, essentially you've just implemented the sequential scan, which is what the sequential scan does. It basically has two iterators, the one where you're copying to, and the iterator pointing to the current element, and it's just doing that comparison with the last element. Anytime they are not equal, you found a new value, and then you copy it back, you increment that the first iterator, and then you go on. But, like, that's the sequential.
We can assume random access iterators here, so we don't need to actually keep that stateful iterator. We can just keep an index into the iterator.
An index is the exact same thing as an iterator for the purposes of copying to a certain place. But anyway, it sounds like you want like a parallel version of that that style of implementation. I have no idea how you would do it. I don't think it's possible.
It may not be. It seems wrong to me that we would need temporary storage for this.
Doesn't seem wrong to me, folks. Let us know. Email us. We don't have an email. Let us know in the GitHub discussion at the top of the show notes. And maybe I've definitely been wrong before, so.
Yeah. It's an interesting question.
Interesting. And
yes.
On the back of that truck.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's been a lot of that. Would you like to describe the ad?
Nope, I would not.
All right.
If you meet us at a conference and we're at some kind of social night and there are beverages involved, feel free to ask us what was. And that's how we'll know you're a real deep hard fan of ADSP. Is that you're referencing, episode 146 or whatever this is, and you'll be like, what was on the back of that Italian moving truck? And we'll let you know. And by that point, we'll have stickers too, so we'll give you a sticker while we're at it.
Yeah. All right, well, I think we're going to take a little bit of a pause, mostly
why are we taking a break?
Because my hand is getting tired from holding the microphone up.
Goodness, man. Next time, you got to do some work. You got to do some curls or something.
Yeah.
Here. You know what? You know what, folks? Bryce is tired.
No, this is
I can. What do you mean? I'm holding the mic now. And what are we talking about now? We're at episode 147.
I think we should take a break anyways, because I'm not going to be able to get this this unique question off my mind. I need a few minutes to ruminate
on
it. All
right, folks, there's a chance.
There's a chance this is the last time we record. And if it is the last time we record...
Oh, no, we're going to record for tonight in Venice.
Why?
Because we've got to record at the end of the road trip.
What are we going to do? In our hotel room?
Probably, yeah.
That's so weird.
We're definitely going to do
it. Listen, folks, this is my goodbye. We're going to apparently record again. But my goodbye from the road of the Slovenia 2023 road trip. I honestly, I'm a little bit surprised that it even happened. Because I'll be honest, it was a joke. I mean, we did title an episode, Ljubljana, here we come. But if you had actually asked me at the time, what are the odds that that's going to happen? I would have put it below 50%. Because taking a podcast on the road is, it's novel, especially in the tech space. We're setting whole new standards.
But we made it happen. The stars aligned. All right. Well, we're signing off for now. We will talk to you later.
And spoiler, we do have at least 2 or 3 more episodes, which we recorded in Venice. So stay tuned next week to hear those. Be sure to check the show notes either in your podcast app or at adspthepodcast.com for links to any of the things we mentioned in today's episode, as well as a GitHub discussion where you can leave questions, comments, or thoughts. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed and have a great day.
Low quality, high quantity. That is the tagline of our podcast.
That's not the tagline. Our tagline is chaos with sprinkles of information.